Catch the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show, weekdays 6 to 10 a.m. on X107.5.
Well, good morning and welcome to the Dave Mahoney Morning Show. How is everyone feeling today?
Yeah.
Yeah? Mahoney had fun on Thursday.
Thirsty Thursday, boys.
Yeah, it was. That was a long day yesterday.
So what happened exactly?
Pete Wentz came into the studio.
Uh-huh.
And they were performing in town doing a private show. And his management team was with him. And his management team, somebody I used to work with many moons ago in, at another radio station. So it's been a minute since we'd caught up. And he told me about his love for Japanese whiskey. And I'm like, well, I just so happen to have a bottle of Japanese whiskey in our office.
So how much of the Japanese whiskey did you drink?
All of it.
All of it. Okay.
All right. All of it. So, yeah, it was today's a little hot in here.
You said that you you woke up on your on the floor at your house?
Yeah.
About 1 a.m.?
Yeah. Wife loved that.
She's impressed, huh?
Yeah. So that was nice.
But, you know. Strong performance.
But you know what? I'm here on time today. So there's that.
And the dog later as well.
I did have a bit of a conversation with you last night that you told me promptly this morning that you do not recall at all.
I do not.
And when I talked to you, I was like, I wonder legitimately if I'm going to see him tomorrow morning. And here you are. So.
Well, bright and early. You know, I'm, you know,
a
me.
Functioning drunk, I believe is what they call that. Yeah.
Well, I wouldn't say functioning because I forgot to do all my all the prep for the show for today.
No. I wouldn't say that you forgot because you very specifically texted Ian last night at about 10. Do you remember this?
No.
And you said, and I quote, just use old S.
That sounds like me. I mean, I got so much stuff that from the past few days.
Yes.
He was overprepared.
I was overprepared, uh-huh. So I knew that was coming. So hell of a night. But I will say this: if you did not see or if you did not hear Pete Wentz's interview with Bossy Rossi yesterday, it was pretty good.
Was it?
It was pretty good. Yeah. I'm going to work on the video today, maybe.
You also didn't manage to get around to editing the video.
No.
Oh, that Japanese whiskey. Whoops.
Yeah. You habiki.
All right. Let's get going with the show today. Some good news and some bad news to get things started. What would you like first there, Mahoney?
Something.
Something. Some bad news it is. I'll make the decisions. That's fine. I'm here for you, buddy.
All right. You're the man.
Garfield the city, ironically, has a cat problem.
Where is Garfield the city?
New Jersey. Is Garfield, New Jersey. Population of about 30,000 people.
Okay. That's why we've never heard of it. Yeah. Cats have taken up residence on patios and near pools, on a roof, under a stoop, and a group of taxpayers in the city have had enough. A handful of residents have brought their complaints to city officials, hoping for a relief from the packs of cats that mate in the street and vomit and defecate in their yards. Hell yeah, Garfield.
My life has been saved by the miracle of lasagna.
The feral cat issue has reached, quote, epidemic proportions, according to a councilwoman.
Why would you pull the Bill Murray Garfield?
Because the cartoon is literally the most... I hate that voice, where he's just so monotone. It's not even entertaining. At least Bill Murray's voice is recognizable.
Okay.
As of 2018, 26 cat colonies were registered with the city, ranging in size from 2 to 10 cats, not all of them spayed or neutered. So they're just... They're feral cats, and there's 26 different cat colonies that are registered right now in a town of 30,000 people. So that's something.
They're going to take over.
Yeah.
They're planning to kill y'all.
Pretty much already have. Well, some good news today as well. A group from a nudist park in Rutherford County, Tennessee. And by the way, I bet the nudists from Rutherford County, Tennessee look great naked.
Tennessee's gross.
Look fantastic.
I can't even imagine. Yeah. I bet it's like...
That's
got fleas.
The heartland, Dave. How dare you?
They've got fleas.
They helped prevent the spread of a brush fire that burned 8 to 10 acres last Wednesday.
Oh, wow.
The fire broke out at 1:15 p.m. Susan Palmer saw the heavy smoke as she was driving home, called 911. She lives at the Rock Haven Lodge, which is a nudist park. According to Palmer, Rock Haven owns a 1964 Ford fire truck that holds 500 gallons of water. And for the first time, the group at Rock Haven had used a truck to battle a large fire. And it saved potentially hundreds of acres from burning.
Oh, wow.
Three people from the nudist camp jumped into the fire truck and helped to spray down.
Were they nude while they were putting out this fire?
I just hope so. I hope so.
I mean, because I'm not shocked that the nudists know how to handle that fire hose, right?
Nope.
They just heard word that somebody's bush was on fire. They're like, I'm on the way.
This is the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show on X107.5.
Got a comment, complaint, or opinion for the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show? Leave the good stuff on our voicemail at 702-889-7352. Again, 702-889-7352.
Please leave a message after the tone.
Help me figure this out. When do I write thank you letters? I know they're customary for like weddings and stuff like that, but like if I have a game night or something or a potluck, should I write them? No. I'm so confused over this.
Message deleted.
If you have the time to throw a potluck, you probably have time to write some thank you cards. I feel like those two things go pretty hand in hand.
I feel like you don't need to write a thank you card for anything besides like somebody coming to a birthday party or like a baby shower.
Wedding gifts.
Yeah, I'm saying like traditionally outside of like the wedding genre.
Yeah.
I mean, we wrote Andrew's boss, his principal that had us over. I wrote her a thank you card.
So that's nice.
So like people like that though. It's just a nice gesture.
It's people that have done something very nice for you, or even more specifically, people that can definitely do something for you in the future.
Write them a thank you card.
There you go. I love you so much. You're great.
My wife will write thank you cards for like any gift. Any gift she gets or anything. She will write a thank you card.
It takes 2 seconds.
Well, I mean, it takes more than 2 seconds.
I mean, like in the grand scheme of like what it took for somebody to go out and get a gift for you. I mean, and them spending money on you. I love that.
Is it less personal to type out a thank you note because your handwriting is so bad?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, so you can't do that, huh?
No, I mean, you got to. Have your wife write it. She's got nice handwriting.
Yeah, you're right. She did write all of the thank you cards for all the wedding stuff.
Uh-huh.
Because I'm like, you're just so much better at that, baby.
You don't want your chicken scratch on these nice thank yous.
Yeah, these are lovely little thank you cards that you got.
And your little, you know, it looks like you're on something.
I felt like I was an athlete just going through like signing all these cards.
Oh, yeah. Please leave a message after the tone.
Hey, everyone. So I know Dave is having a spider issue lately, but had me thinking, like, what would you rather have? A spider infestation or a snake infestation? I think I'd go with snakes. They seem nicer, and they don't have any legs. Like, spiders freak me out.
Message deleted.
I really, honestly don't think I could deal with either. Mm-mm. I mean, it's one thing, you know, I found some tarantulas. That's what he's talking about outside of my house. But if I had an infestation of something in my house, I really don't think I could deal with it. I'm just that weak.
Mm-mm. I actually had an infestation of spiders once whenever my air conditioning blew out.
Oh, no.
The tenant came and put in, like, a unit, like, through the window.
Yeah, yeah.
And the back of my apartment faced the woods.
And the spiders
like, one day I turned it on, and it was just going, because all these spiders inside were just getting, like, chopped up, pulled open my blinds, and it was just covered.
No.
Oh, yeah. I did. I left.
And never went back.
No, but both are awful, like you said. And he's like, snakes don't have legs, which makes it grosser that they can
even creepier how fast they are. Yeah. You ever seen a snake swimming across the top of the water? If you want to get freaked out, it's not fair, man.
Nope. I'm going snake though.
Are you?
Because they're larger.
Yeah,
I can see them.
Yeah.
Spiders, you don't know where they're coming from.
Yeah.
But isn't that what's scary? If it's an infestation of these large things, they're just gonna like wrap around your neck.
Oh, don't threaten me with a good time.
Please leave a message.
Snakes it is.
Okay, let's be real here. One hit wonders are just wonders. Why are they downsized just because it's one hit? It's still a hit.
Message deleted.
No, I agree. I think if you have the ability to have one song that becomes a phenomenon, that's better.
You've accomplished more than 99.9% of the rest of the musicians in the world.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, I mean, it sucks that's what you get known for, but like you
at least you're known for something.
All you need is one. Cascada has Every Time We Touch. You know, Every Time We Touch.
No, not really.
Nope.
Whenever you go, we'll turn it on. You're gonna know exactly. She's worth $30 million.
$30 million.
It's played at like basketball games and all kinds of sporting events.
I mean, you could make an argument that Vanilla Ice has.
He was a one hit.
He's a one hit wonder.
Yeah,
right?
I mean, there was nothing. I mean, play that funky music, white boy.
Yeah,
like,
get out of here with all that nonsense.
Too Legit to Quit was Hammer. So
that was MC Hammer.
Hammer had more than one hit.
But Vanilla Ice has made a life out of. I mean, he's got a a renovation show on the DIY network.
In Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 2, Secret of the Ooze, the ninja rap.
I mean, that was, I mean, I would say probably his second biggest.
I wouldn't even call that a hit, though.
No. The go, ninja, go? No, that wasn't, you didn't like that? Did you ever shave the little things on the side of your head because of Vanilla Ice? Tell me you did.
No, my parents wouldn't allow me. I wanted to, though.
Hey, Las Vegas. This is Cameron from the band Twin XL, and you are listening to the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show on X107.5.
Well, I just was trying to, like, think of the next, like, one-hit wonder in my head. And sometimes you don't really make it like some others. Eagle Eye Cherry is only worth $100,000.
Still $100,000.
Yeah,
that's all right.
Total.
Let's get to the news. It's top stories.
So there's a headline that you don't really expect. The feds have taken down the largest drug trafficking ring in the history of Oregon. U.S.
Seclusion.
Authorities, yeah, they announced that they cracked down on an international drug trafficking ring based in a strip mall in Oregon.
Really?
Yeah, there's a intricate network of criminals that were smuggling methamphetamine, heroin, cocaine, worth $15 million from Mexico to Portland. The U.S. attorney revealed authorities at the federal, state, and local level conducted raids that apprehended 20 people in an investigation that spanned more than a year. 10 people already in custody, totaling 30 people arrested. 11 more are still at large. In less than a year, the drug trafficking ring created more than $1 million in revenue. Mexican kingpins were smuggling the drugs to two Oregon distributors who then dispersed the drugs among stash houses, dealers, couriers, and money launderers, according to that same U.S. attorney. The charges allege that it began in 2018. Two men organized, ran, and led a vast international drug trafficking organization that obtained and flooded the community with hundreds of pounds of meth and heroin.
Whew.
The two operatives' leaders are still in Mexico and have not been arrested, obviously connected to the cartel. Mm. In return, the Portland distributors would send back firearms to their Mexican counterparts. At the Portland distribution peak, they sold as much as 75 pounds of meth and 55 pounds of heroin every week.
Wow.
Whoa.
That is insane. I mean, they must have been like the supplier for the entire state, right?
I mean, you would think,
if
right?
You're
I
going
mean,
through
75 pounds of meth and 55 pounds of heroin?
A week.
Whoa.
That is unbelievable. You don't think, you when you think of places like that, you would need maybe border states, but not Oregon.
Yeah, it's like you're north up to Seattle. You're going south to Northern California. Like, I don't know. It just,
well, wouldn't you think that there's got to be, like, maybe a hub in each state?
You'd think. I don't know. You always hear about, like, the biker gangs and the places where they're getting a lot of, you know, their product and moving it around. And, mm-hmm. I mean, Sons of Anarchy was based in Northern California, so this all checks out.
It all
makes sense
now. Okay. Are you watching the new the spinoff of that?
No. I really like Sons of Anarchy. I mean, you really have to suspend disbelief for that show. Did you watch it?
No, I haven't watched it at all.
Audie, you must have watched Sons of Anarchy, right?
I started it. Andrew's watched it like 6 times in a row. He's got like a tattoo. He's a nut job for it. He loves it.
Yeah. But yeah, I guess there's a spinoff, but I haven't got into it yet.
Okay.
Yeah.
Was it Mayans FC or whatever?
Yeah.
Or MC? FC would be FC. A football club.
They're just a bunch of soccer players.
Yeah, they
a bunch of wannabe European soccer players.
I'd watch that.
Trafficking fentanyl. So scientists have found that people who switch off social media, specifically Facebook, become less depressed, more productive,
I believe it,
and better with money.
Really? That seems an interesting causation.
They compared the activities of more than 1,750 students who went on a week's break from Facebook or remained on the social media platform. In addition, the team found that quitting Facebook caused people to consume less news overall, but it also reduced their awareness of fake and non-mainstream news. Researchers split the participants into two groups. One took a week's break from Facebook. The other stayed on the platform. They found that the students that went off were, in fact, as you'd expect, more productive, felt less depressed, engaged in healthier activities, even made fewer impulse purchases, and ate out less.
Do you think that you can do it? I mean, like, we were talking about it.
Facebook? Yeah. Facebook is my
barely
least favorite.
Barely on it at all.
My least favorite out of all
but
of them.
But do you think you can punt on Instagram and Twitter?
Twitter would be the hardest one for me just because it curates so much news. Like, there's so much.
Uh-huh.
I love that, and I use it a lot for work.
But don't you feel like it's slowing down recently? I feel like I'm constantly, like, well, I'm always on it. Like,
Twitter?
Twitter and Instagram, I'm always on. So I don't know if I'm just, like, expecting something new every single second because that's just how Twitter was at one point. But now with the trending page, I feel like it's just the same 15 stories over and over again. You have to kind of like go, you have to deep dive a little bit further.
There's some big stories going on right now that tend to dominate the cycle.
True,
so it's maybe that has something to do with it.
True. But do you think you could kick it though?
I want to. I want to get off all of them.
Oh man, it'd be tough. It'd be tough just for work purposes.
Because
if somebody was like, get off Facebook for a week, I'd be like, sure.
But whatever. I mean, I do, to be fair, I don't find a lot of my news on social media. That's not like my, like, I have a couple pages, like Reddit is one of the ones. I mean, I guess Reddit is a form of social media.
Kind of.
It's more of an aggregator and a couple other sites. So I think I would still be able to find the news that I would want, but I would have to be more proactive in that.
Do you remember when you used to get text messages from people of breaking news when something happened, like when a celebrity died, and you'd be like, oh my God, I can't believe that.
You turn on the TV.
Yeah. And now you're like, I know. I've known for 20 minutes.
I got the breaking alert. Yeah.
Do you ever like fake that you don't know something so you don't seem like you're...
Yeah. Really? Oh, I'm going to miss him so much.
R.I.P.
So a North Carolina man has sued his ex-wife's lover for destroying his marriage and won $750,000.
Was this guy super rich or something beforehand, or the other guy?
No.
Like, how do you sue somebody for $750,000 because your marriage fell apart?
A judge ruled in favor of Kevin Howard for alienation of affections. It's a case that has only exists in a handful of states across the country.
Did he bang an alien?
The claim is made by a jilted spouse against the person that they believe intentionally interfered with a marriage. The result of the case often ends up with financial compensation being awarded.
That's disgusting.
The man was found guilty by the court of stealing his wife. Which
oh,
seems,
my God, because she's property?
That's exactly what it sounds like.
Oh, my
like it's your
God.
Prized cow? Like, what are you talking about? Like, she doesn't have a say in who she's hooking up with?
Yeah. The state, the state and the government should not be involved in this type of lawsuit in any way, shape, or form.
So here are the states. Many states have repealed the law, but it still exists in Hawaii, Mississippi,
of course.
New Mexico, South Dakota, Utah, and North Carolina. Here is some audio from the quote, a victim, if you will.
He came to my house and we shared stories. We talked about personal lives. I filed the case because I feel it's very important that people understand that the sanctity of marriage is important, especially in this day and age when people question everyone's morals, people question everyone's viability as a person, and the state backed me up on it. He did things purposely, visit with her when I was at work. I have scars. I still have a lot of healing to do.
Oh, shut up.
This guy is insufferable.
Shut up, you loser.
Yeah, that's why your wife left you.
Of course it is. Be better
sound like
bad,
that.
You dweeb.
Dollar Loan Center presents X107.5's Holiday Havoc. Featured artist, Judah and the Lion.
I hate that story so much, man.
It's the worst, man.
And I hate that guy.
Yeah, I do, too.
Awful.
You're listening to the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show on X107.5.
So this is that magical time of the week where we all get to have our performances graded in the worst way possible. Ian is kind enough to put together a blooper reel of some of our not-so-fine moments. Ian, pretty impressive stuff this week?
Oh, yeah, definitely, Dave. No, come on, every single week. This was the week where literally I had so many bloopers, and we had this last week, too. I don't understand why you guys just can't, like, kind of hone in.
Are you getting mad at me right
now? No, I'm just saying fix yourself.
I feel like you leave yourself out of the blooper reel quite often.
Well, though. I had to on this occasion because my bloop wasn't as significant as, say, you saying the Dominican Republican or something like that.
The Dominican Republican.
Which we will hear in this blooper reel.
It's an election season.
I would be surprised if there was a Dominican Republican.
It's the blooper reel.
In a drinking contest, who wins?
All right. Well, here's the thing: is I'm extremely competitive, so I would have attempted to go toe to toe. So I would have attempted to go toe to toe.
I mean, he was one of the biggest players in Major League Baseball for many years, and the Dominican Republic is a very sketchy country. The Dominican Republican.
Hey. Women are reviewing places that are otherwise very well reviewed. And for some reason, Karen is always the angriest one in the room. And there's a plethora of different reasons why Karen can be angered. There's a plethora of different reasons why Aaron can...
I really like this guy, and this is an interesting story. I think probably the most interesting story in sports today.
Robots are the ones that are hurting people's pay. Mm-hmm. Automation has contributed substantially to reducing the portion of national income that goes to U.S. workers over the past two decades. Automation mm-hmm. has contributed substantially.
All right. It wasn't a toy. It was a massager.
A back massager.
I need this for my back. A little shiatsu action.
A lot of tension.
A lot of shiatsu action going on back there.
Mm-hmm.
A little shiatsu action.
A lot of tension.
A lot of shiatsu action going on back there. Probably the most interesting the Dominican Republic. It wasn't a toy, it was a massager.
Catch the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show, weekdays 6 to 10 a.m. on X107.5.
Well, there's always next week.
Is there? I don't know. I mean, I feel like at some point, one of our big bosses is going to be listening to this. They're like, what are we doing with our radio station, man?
We weren't cheap.
We're going to pick up and go to the Dominican Republic.
Don't go there.
Let's do today's Redneck Report. How about we start off today with a young lady who found herself in jail, and they're saying that maybe she's not the criminal mastermind she fancied herself to be.
What did she do, Dave?
Well, she was running a fake weight loss clinic, and the clinic is dirty. Called Drop It Like It's Hot. Now, unfortunately,
I don't hate the name of that weight loss center, though.
She did not have any medical training, and so she wasn't really supposed to be running this weight loss clinic. And then things got worse. Jesse Lopez, 40 years old, was already in custody in Central Florida in July when she unwittingly asked an undercover cop to kill her husband, Daniel. And the reason why is because she thought that he was going to snitch on her and dime her out because of the things that she had done wrong. And so, of course, what do? You try to hire a hitman, and always, 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 that hitman is an undercover cop, because real hitmen don't hang out on Craigslist.
Shout out to the cops who are pretending to be hitmen. Like, I love these stories. I love that just stupid criminals continue to get caught by their own dumbness.
Would you like to hear how her letter went to this cop?
Oh, yeah. Boy.
Can it be like an accident, like a robbery gone wrong or something that cannot come back to me, like it was a plan? She signed off with, "You're my angel. I'm so excited to meet you. Burn this letter, XOXO.
Like she wrote an actual letter?
Wrote a letter. Idiot.
Like, don't put it in writing.
Oh. Like, well, she asked him to burn it. She
hello.
Thought it was
and she put XOXO after
You're
it.
You're my murdering angel. Enjoy prison, dummy.
A Tennessee woman is suing the cops for $11 million, claiming a deputy groped and dunked her into a lake. Chandel Marie Riley, 40, suing Hamilton County, and deputies Jacob Goforth and Daniel Wilkie, claiming that she was deprived from her constitutionally protected rights to freedom of religion, to be free from injury or harm while in custody, and to be free from unreasonable search and seizure. The lawsuit also lists negligence, battery, assault, intentional infliction of emotional distress.
So
what happened was, according to her, she got pulled over. There's a traffic stop. Mm-hmm. And that's when the cops asked her if she had been saved by Jesus Christ.
And this is what she's saying.
Yeah, well, the deputy allegedly instructed Riley to go to her friend's home and grab two towels, and then he was going to baptize her.
What?
And so she did. She went to get the towels and then followed the deputy to Soddy Lake, where he proceeded to strip down to his underwear. The other deputy, Deputy Goforth, acting as a witness, while Wilkie allegedly dunked the woman beneath the cold water by holding her neck and breasts. Wilkie remains on paid administrative leave while stemming from this July incident. But, I mean, the cops really did this, according to this story.
What?
I'm stunned that the cops would do something so idiotic. Like, if she got busted for something, just take her to jail. Like, don't baptize her in a random lake, you creeps. Like, what is going on here?
Also, you're not supposed to hold the breasts. Hold the nose. The nose.
When you hold the nose and the neck.
Yeah,
the nose and the neck.
When you're going back. Yeah, because you don't want the water.
This is disgusting.
So they pulled her over about 10 p.m. on February 6th on suspicion of meth possession as she arrived at a friend's house to visit her young child. So, like, this chick's on meth. Like, there's all, and the cops are like, let me baptize you. And, like, guys,
everybody is in the wrong here. Like,
I don't think that she deserves $11 million.
She deserves some kind of compensation. That's not how the law works. You're not allowed to do that. Put her in the back of the cop car.
But the last thing we need to do is give a meth head $11 million.
No, I also agree with that.
But the
cop's fault for doing
that. And the cops should definitely be fired, right?
Yeah.
I mean, like, what are you doing, guys?
Stop baptizing people on the job.
at least she's going to heaven. That's fine.
There is that.
So, not to be outdone, a North Carolina mom is accused of trying to trade her toddler for a car.
What kind of car?
Alice Leanne Todd, 45. Was charged with unlawful sale, surrender, or purchase of a minor after... Is there a lawful sale, surrender, or purchase of a minor?
Well, there should be.
After investigators found that she was trying to give up her one-year-old in exchange for a 1992 Plymouth Laser.
Is there any kind of a person who is worse than this? A mom who is just so willing to get rid of her child like that?
No. It just sucks when you know so many people who are, like, trying to have kids and they can't, and then these just dirt bags are just
so
popping
sad.
Kids out who don't want them.
It
just
heart,
sucks
really.
For the kids, man.
Yeah.
But, like, a 19, like, who?
A 91 a 90, Plymouth Laser.
No, you guys, a 92 Plymouth Laser.
Excuse me.
You know, that is the cousin of the Eagle Talon and
That's
the
right.
Mitsubishi Eclipse.
That's right.
You remember, my friend had
still
a,
just had the bump on the hood.
Oh yeah, my friend. No. This one did not.
Oh, it didn't.
This is the model before
the
that.
The Eagle Talon had the bump on the hood because, you know, there's just too much engine.
That was like the 90
to fit into the single hood, so it had like a bulge.
Is that
on the
what
hood.
They're?
Yeah.
I think that was like 95, 96.
Oh my gosh.
Too much engine, you mean by 138 horsepower?
Look out! And
watch
finally,
out,
on a much lighter note, because those two
Please.
Pretty dark
Thank
there.
You.
Dark.
Officials from Laurel County, Kentucky.
Yeehaw.
Said that a house was broken into early Saturday morning. Officials say the owner of the home woke up to noises coming from the kitchen and found a man making two mayonnaise sandwiches.
Ooh. Mayonnaise.
The owner did not know the man, but described him as being 6 foot tall and 220 pounds, so pretty big guy. Police said the suspect asked the homeowner if he left the house, would he be the homeowner, and then if he should clean up the mess. The suspect then left the house before the cops arrived, okay. leaving behind a coffee mug, some loose change, and his wallet with his ID. Even though the suspect is not in police custody, they don't believe that he's really a danger to the public. He's just a drunk idiot. All kinds of things could have happened because most homeowners in many times that we live in are armed and they have weapons in their house. You don't know somebody and somebody broke into your house. Next thing you know, somebody could have gotten shot. But this homeowner approached things from a calm perspective and this idiot just left with his two mayonnaise sandwiches. But, you know, did leave behind.
I arrest that man for making a mayonnaise sandwich.
I was
going to
say, did your parents ever say this? He was making a wish sandwich.
What's a wish sandwich?
Two slices of bread and you wish you had some meat.
This is the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show on X107.5.
I've seen that movie.
You're listening to the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show on X107.5.
Have you ever had a scary, exciting, terrifying, or just really unique experience in the back of a Uber or a Lyft or a taxi?
A lot of times those trips and those encounters are all fueled by alcohol, which makes things that much more interesting.
This one just got texted to us. My best driver was driving a van that had a full-on club in it, complete with a light show, disco ball. He doubled as a DJ on his laptop turntable, was mixing and scratching. He was even taking requests. Ended up getting pulled over because he was driving too fast. And his stuff was flying all over the place. Told me if I didn't say anything to the cops, he would comp the ride.
Nice.
Hell yeah.
That is amazing.
Have you guys ever had one of those riders who like takes a lot of pride and like they've got
the
party car?
They're the party car. Yep.
I don't even remember what city I was in, but we were somewhere and they picked us up in this. It was a Toyota 4Runner. Same thing. Had like a little disco ball in there. Like it was a party. And the guy... like, kept handing us his personal card. Just like, hey, you need to ride to the next place you're going. Hit me up. He's like, you want to take you to a club? I'll get you a discount getting in. I mean, like, he had a full-on side hustle going, man. He was a club on wheels.
Wow.
Yeah, it was a good time.
It's too much for me. It's too much.
Is it? You don't think you would like that?
I just want to sit there in peace. I'm a curmudgeon, I know.
This one just got texted to us at 73100. The last time I took an Uber, I was drunk and alone, and the Uber picked me up in my dream car, which is a Volkswagen Atlas. So I started bawling my eyes out because I couldn't believe I was in an Atlas. I FaceTimed my boyfriend and took so many pictures to commemorate the drive, and the driver gave me a 3-star review.
Catch the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show, weekdays 6 to 10 a.m. on X107.5.
Yeah, I guess that's the big Volkswagen SUV.
Yeah.
They're nice looking, yeah.
I get it.
Okay.
Sometimes you get emotional after a couple of drinks. All right, more of your calls and posts coming up.
X107.5.
Have you ever had an Uber driver bust out a musical instrument? Because that actually happened to not just me, but both Ian and I.
Yeah. What musical instrument?
For both of us, same musical instrument, probably the most appropriate one, harmonica.
Hell yeah.
Was your harmonica player good?
He was amazing, actually. And he had an entire CD of just like beats, and then he would just play over the beats. So you couldn't even listen to the regular radio. You just had to listen to him play harmonica.
Did he ask you?
Nope. He didn't ask me either. He didn't speak. He spoke very broken English, so I couldn't really understand. So he just kept playing.
That just reminded me. So I had a guy, same thing. It was down in L.A., and he busted out a harmonica and just started going to town.
Yeah.
And there, we were in pretty heavy traffic, and we were at a stoplight, and there was some other person that was next to us with their window cracked. And they looked over because all the windows were down in our car, enjoying the nice weather.
Uh-huh.
And they lowered their windows so they could take part in the harmonica jam session that was going on. I'm like, yeah. But that just reminded me. So we were in Napa, California, I don't know, in February this past year. And we went out to dinner. And the guy whose minivan that we got in told us that he was also a musician. We're like, oh, that's cool. And, you know, just kind of like that small talk. He's like, yeah, you know, I played some of these. And then drops the, would you like to hear it? And he has his own CD that wasn't quite mastered yet.
Okay.
But, you know,
it's coming. It's a rough copy. Rough copy.
And he sat there and basically karaoke'd to himself the entire time on this 25-minute ride to dinner. He just kept going through all of these different tracks. And he was awful. Oh, my God. It was just, I'm like, should I give this guy 1 star? No. Other people must experience this, too.
You 5 stars?
5 stars for sure.
Were you drunk when you got into this Uber, or was this?
No, it was pre-dinner and all that stuff. So I'm just like, oh, God, if I was hammered, this would be so much better.
You'd be gassing him up.
Sober and hungry.
Spencer said, was on my way to the Palomino Strip Club with one of my bosses at the time, and the Uber ended up being a church on wheels. The guy was giving us a sermon the entire time.
Oh, no. No. So, no.
Where are you guys headed? You're like, don't worry about it.
Well, I mean, I'm getting out. I'm against religion or anything, but I do not want to be, saved in an Uber. This is not that is not appropriate. Like, especially when you're like, you've got a captive, you're captive in somebody else's car to like preach at them. Man, that's
not cool. Yeah.
I have no problem with telling somebody to stop talking to me. I really don't. Like, if somebody's, like, telling me or, like, I've had somebody rap to me before.
Rap to you?
Yes. Like, I've had somebody rap to me before. One of my best experiences, though, is this guy. I've had him twice, actually, because I guess he's just, like, always in this area.
Yeah.
And he always plays the same CD. He's got, like, a mustache. He's got the silver bracelets and, like, all of that. And you can tell he was, like, living, loving, and laughing in the 70s. And it's a disco CD, and it's the same disco CD over and over
and over again.
Same like 8 tracks. But yeah, if you're playing it too loud and I don't want to hear it, sorry, I would tell you to turn it off.
I was in the Navy and we would get drunk and take cabs overseas. If you sat in the front seat, you were known as the brake man, meaning at some point in that trip, you had to pull the cabbie's e-brake. Usually we would do it close to where we wanted to go because they would kick us out of the cab.
It's so dangerous.
And you wouldn't have to pay for the ride. I mean, what are you jerks? What's wrong with you guys, man?
Wow.
I used to live in New Orleans, and this is before I moved back to Vegas. I wanted to enjoy the city as a tourist. We spent the day walking around in the quarter and Bourbon Street doing a lot of day drinking, decided to take a cab back. We got to this area that was this bridge that was folding up to let the boats pass.
Mm-hmm.
And out of nowhere, I projectile vomited. I was sitting directly behind the driver, and the puke hit his head so hard and splattered on the front of the car and his dash, his windshield. I was mortified and was so drunk, we started laughing hysterically. The driver got out, went to his trunk, and I thought for sure he was getting a bat to beat me. Ended up just grabbing some towels, cleaned myself in the car there, and just sat there in silence. Very awkward silence the rest of the way home. He continued to take you home after you projectile vomited all over him in the car?
I mean, they can technically drop you off wherever, but I'm glad that he finished the ride.
That man answered the call. I mean, that is going above. If somebody throws up on me, that's it. Like the ride is now the ride is now over.
Which you guys know that. They can technically drop you off wherever.
Oh yeah.
Like even on the freeway.
Can they drop you off on the freeway?
They can drop you off anywhere. If they are technically in danger and you are being like scary to them, they can drop you off wherever.
I had a really don't spook that easily. I had a scary Uber experience one time, and I was with our buddy Matt and two grown dudes in the back of this car on like a 2 mile ride, and it was terrifying. I'll explain why in a moment. Have you ever had an experience that really stands out in your mind? Because maybe it was great, maybe it was terrible, maybe it was terrifying in the back of somebody else's car, whether it's a cab or an Uber or Lyft. This one got texted over to us. Went to a Weezer concert last August in Chula Vista on the Mexican border in California. Anyways, we Ubered there, had a blast at the concert, but both of our phones died while we were there, and we couldn't Uber back, so we just got a cab. There was a charger in the cab, so I plugged in my phone. The driver didn't speak English and was driving super fast. When my phone turned on, it said, "Welcome to Mexico." When we asked where we were going, he didn't respond. He just went faster. We eventually made it back to the hotel an hour late, and it was the longest hour of our lives.
Oh, my God.
That's scary as hell. I am so glad you are okay. That is terrifying.
So we went to Rio de Janeiro in Brazil for the UFC back in the day. And the events that happened there start late because it's an hour later than East Coast time even, right? Okay. So the event starts at 11 p.m., For the main card, and then by the time the actual event got done and the press conference that we had to cover,
like 4 a.m.?
It's about 3:30, 4 o'clock in the morning, and all of the buses for even like the fighters had left and had taken them back to the hotel where we were all staying, and so we had to get in a cab. And we got in this cab that was this rinky-dink little yellow, I think it was like a Toyota Corolla or something. But you know how when the headlights are on an older car, they're kind of yellow and sickly looking?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
That.
Jaundiced.
Yeah, and so we're in the car, and there's four of us. The car had jaundice, yes. There's four of us in the car, and we're flying through Rio de Janeiro, and we don't know whether or not this guy is taking us to the right place or not. But we assume that he is, but he doesn't speak English really at all. It's Portuguese. And so he's flying through Rio de Janeiro, and we're coming up to these red lights, and he's just blasting through them. And we're like, "What are you doing?" And he says in broken English, "You don't stop at red lights at night in Rio de Janeiro or they'll get you."
They'll get you?
They'll get you. And I'm
that
like,
is
what?
Ominous.
But I mean, these are fairly busy streets and there's like buses that are blowing across following the green lights. And so like we're flying through these intersections and I am stunned that we didn't get sideswiped or T-boned.
So, but he's saying they'll get you like because you're like a white American, like they'll take
anybody.
You out of the car?
Anyone? Anyone.
There was a story.
Nobody stops at stop signs and red lights at night because... They'll swarm the car and pull you out and rob you or kill you or whatever it is.
There was a story like Vanderlei Silva, who's, a hero in Brazil. I mean, one of the most famous people in Brazil.
He was driving one of his Aston Martins down there, which are great cars. But he's, a legendary fighter who put mixed martial arts on the map in many ways, right? And so he's a huge celebrity down in Brazil. And sure enough, he was driving through Rio de Janeiro in his Aston Martin. And he gets carjacked and they rip him out and they have a gun right in his face. And then they realize it's Vanderlei Silva, and they're like, "Oh, sorry, you can go," and put him back in his car and let him leave.
Because they were just huge fans.
Yeah, they're like, "Oh, cool.
Oh, my gosh.
Hey, Vanderlei, what's up, man?
Hey, get back to your day."
So this is the scary story that I had.
That was not your scary story? That wasn't your scary story?
No, this is a different one. And now that I think about it, Matt was with me for that one. Yep. He was with me for the harmonica one, and Matt was also with me for this one that's the scary story.
You got to stop.
Taking Matt with you.
No, he's
some bad luck.
He's a good time, man.
So what happened this time?
So we went to eat at Golden Steer, which is right by the Stratosphere, and we were just taking
great steakhouse.
Yeah, we were taking an Uber over to the Palms, which
right down the street,
a couple of miles, right? I mean, it's basically, it's just Sahara to Flamingo.
Yeah, it's right there.
But the Uber driver, when we get in, is this little Honda Civic. He goes, hey, guys, sorry, I have to stop and get gas. We're like, get gas? Like, it's a... And also, like, why didn't you do that before you picked up somebody?
Yeah.
Whatever. So we're like, sure, fine. And so we're driving with this guy, and he stops at this gas station, and it's a sketchy gas station where Matt and I are in the back seat. He's out, car's off, and he's pumping gas, and there's people coming up to him doing the whole, like, hey, man, I just need $5. We're trying to get somewhere. And he's like, get out of here. Wah, 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 yelling at him. And we're like... Okay, so we're in the back seat. We're like, we're going to die in the back of a Honda Civic at this gas station. We're like, lock the doors. So he gets back in, and just to give you a visual of what he looked like Larry David on meth.
Oh, my God.
So Larry David.
People asking for money or your driver?
The driver.
Oh, good. Okay.
Larry David already kind of looks like he's on meth.
Larry David, yeah. He looks like he's.
Like, if you mixed Albert Einstein's haircut from that famous picture on Larry David.
Yeah, yeah.
And then a little sketchier.
Methier.
A methier version
methier.
Of that. And so, he starts talking about how he likes to bring the honeys over to his house.
And the honeys.
The honeys. And we're like, what do you mean the honeys? And so we're like, of course, we have to hear the story about the honeys. Turns out the honeys are prostitutes.
Of course they are.
And he lives in this area where he's got all of these $20 honeys that he talks down to $10.
Oh, my God. He haggles them?
If you're already...
Yeah, you're haggling down a $20 hooker to $10. Cool. Cool.
Penny saved is a penny earned, Dave.
And then he told us a story about how one time things went awry, not for him, but for a friend of his.
Uh-huh. For a honey.
With one of these honeys.
Oh, okay.
Where he went over to the honey's place, and there was a guy waiting in the closet, and he jumped out of the closet and beat the hell out of the guy, took all of his money, and left.
Mm-hmm. So this is all happening at the gas station, he's telling you this?
No, this is after we had the near-death experience at the gas station in the remaining 1 mile.
Oh, my gosh. I was going to say, this is the longest 2 mile ride ever.
Unbelievable. And so we're driving along, and he's telling us about how his friend, which is definitely him, got beat up by this guy who jumps out of a closet while he's trying to hook up with the $20 lady of the night. And then he's like, but don't worry, they don't mess with me. And we're like, oh, no? Thinking he's going to tell us that he knows karate or something. He got his black belt back in 82. Mm-hmm. And he reaches under his seat and pulls out a gun. He pulls out. Now, it's in a holster.
Oh, okay.
But he's like, they don't mess with me because of this. And quickly we realize that we're with methed out Larry David, and he's got a gun in his hand, and he's telling us about all of the $20 but now $10 hookers that he hooks up with, and this all happens over the course of about a mile and a half.
Five stars?
Five stars for sure. I'm like, somebody else has got to enjoy this as well, man.
This is
great.
Is the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show on X107.5.
You recorded the audio.
I did, yeah.
And I heard it, and it was... the best thing I've ever heard.
I'll have to go back and see if I can. I mean, this is from years ago
now.
But yeah, yeah. Pretty great stuff.
Nightmare.
You're still out there, buddy. I miss you.
You're listening to the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show on X107.5.
So, wild experiences in somebody else's car. Charlene said, I was an Uber driver and I was working the graveyard shift, and I picked up a Chippendale and a Thunder from Down Under and their girlfriends. And the guy from Thunder from Down Under was playing some EDM music and started taking his shirt off, and my hand, he grabs it and starts rubbing it all over his chest. What? He was in the front, and obviously I was like, dude, I'm trying to drive. He didn't care and kept doing it. I didn't care either.
Just let it happen.
Treasure said the guy was trying to hide his totally precious Maltese puppy that he had in the car.
Oh.
He was a total man's man, and he seemed embarrassed that he had a mini muffin dog. He let me cuddle her. If I could have given him 6 stars, I would have.
Oh, man, if you've got puppies in your Uber, I'm like, there needs to be a service where I could just call an Uber. They have puppies in the back. You drive me to where I need to go. Get to play with the dogs for like 20 minutes.
I'm here for it.
I will throw all my money at that.
Good morning, guys. I drive Uber part-time. I have so many stories, but one night, there was these two young ladies in the back seat prepping themselves for the nightclub, and all I could hear was them taping each other's breasts up to new who knows what and giggling and joking about how they were getting everything situated. I just kept thinking there's going to be some poor guy later that goes home and has to unwrap the package and...
Wait, no, that's a thing.
Do you just tape everything up?
Well, if you're wearing a certain type of dress...
But do you do that in the Uber? I mean, it just seems like this is sort of thing you do
at
home, right?
You do it at home. Yeah. That's a thing. Don't think it's not.
You got, like, the Scotch tape or, like, the double-sided tape?
No, you use, like, duct tape. You laugh, but Kim K taught us.
With duct tape.
Duct tape, huh?
Really got to use for everything.
Gorilla tape. You know, it's like Gorilla Glue.
Yeah. The Tory on Twitter said, thought we made the right decision to get an Uber to and from New Year's Eve festivities last year. Our driver was so high that he forgot where he was going, pulled up to a McDonald's, and was convinced that we asked him to stop.
Oh, that's a nightmare.
And
did you get anything at the McDonald's? Did you get yourself a six-piece while you were there? Yeah.
Final one here. Louis said, I was doing Uber on the weekends, and I got the pickup from Bally's. And it was a Mexican dude and a white chick with blue eyes. He didn't speak a word of English, and she was trying the best to convince him to go home. It got to the point where I started getting nervous for the guy, and so I started talking to the man. And I just remember telling him in Spanish that this chick is going to rob you. And they both laughed so hard. It turns out that they were married, and they were just acting stupid to cause a scene. I'll never forget that ride.
Got a comment, complaint, or opinion for the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show? Leave the good stuff on our voicemail at 702-889-7352. Again, 702-889-7352.
Please leave a message after the tone.
Hang in there, man. You're a good guy. I know you're going to make it. You've done it for this long. Just keep trucking, brother. Just keep trucking.
Message deleted.
That has got to be for Mahoney, who had quite the day yesterday. We're just starting to unpack how drunk Mahoney was throughout the entire day yesterday. I mean, we knew that at the end of the day, he was sleeping on the floor of his living room at 1 a.m. last night.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Which is something.
Very comfortable.
Throughout the day yesterday.
Your carpet's very comfortable.
It's
plush carpeting.
It's plush, yeah.
We're just starting to realize that there are some other incidents that happened throughout the day, and some of them are on video.
I'm a superstar.
I am
dragging today. I will admit
we've
that.
We've got it set at Antarctica in here specifically, so Mahoney doesn't get like the, you know, like the post hungover.
Oh, you're
sweats.
So hot.
Yeah, you're burning your body
out all of the alcohol.
Your
from
body
the day
is just burning
like,
all the old
feel
alcohol.
My
out.
Arm, it's like I am clammy. No, I'm hot. Oh. Like, I'm borderline. Like, I'm glad it's, like, 68 degrees in here right now.
Do you think having a beer later would just send you right over the edge?
No, I think that's going to even
it out.
That's going to even things out for the day.
It's kind of an annoying thing, though, right? Yeah. It's like whenever you're, like, expecting it just to kind of, like, spike you up a little bit.
Yeah.
And then it just has that, like, plateauing effect.
Mm-hmm.
And all day long, and you can never get that little buzz again.
You
think it's
so
never going to happen again.
Oh, boy. I wonder
if they didn't eat yesterday. That was the problem.
Do I need to go out and get you a pack of I'm sorry cards?
No. It's all fine.
All right.
It's fine. Pete Wentz did flip me off yesterday.
Pete Wentz flipped you off?
Yeah.
Why?
Because I think he went to go in for a handshake, and I was like, you know, I was distracted.
Yeah.
And so I left Pete Wentz hanging.
By distracted, you just mean drunk.
Yeah. Yeah. And then he flipped me off.
What do you think? What time of the day do you think you were at your most
peak
impressive?
Drunk.
Peak drunk? 9:30 last night.
9:30 last night.
Or so, Dave
and
I.
When we had a conversation that you don't remember at all?
Yeah.
We talked for probably 15, 20 minutes.
I looked at the thing. I was like, huh, because I was looking. I called Ian this morning to make sure that the Pete Wentz interview was saved. And I looked at my other calls, and I'm like, I don't remember having a conversation with Dave last night. Apparently,
sure did. It was about 9:30, and you were out getting hot dogs.
Hey, everyone, this is a tough question, but don't think that far into it, okay? But if any of you were to pass away today, how would the rest of you react? You can paint a scenario any way you want, but, you know, what would happen to each of you?
I don't want to think about
it. Message deleted.
I'd be incredibly sad. I mean, like, all of us
really,
I think, love our lives right now. Mm-hmm. Like, we have a great time every time we, you know, get together and do a show. And, yeah, no, it would suck, man. Like,
I have a crazy fear of death. So
do you really?
Oh, like, insanely. Yeah.
I don't really fear death because I think
it's your forever nap.
Yeah,
that's what you've been looking forward to.
That's true because, I mean, there's nothing you do after you're dead. You're just dead. You know,
well, that's
you
the don't whole point, right? Like, how sad is it to think that we've just lived? Oh, no, I'm not going to go down this road. I'm scared as of death. Like,
really?
No way. Yeah, we just exist. And then, like, it's like our great, 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 great grandkids have no idea who we even are. And we were on this earth for however many years.
We don't know our great, 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 great grandparents either, though.
Exactly. You know, that's what I'm saying.
I mean, that's you live your life. Then it's
I'd
over.
I'd be so but sad that's if the one thing. Of you guys it, pass.
It's like you have to do something either really bad or really good to be remembered for a long time.
For sure.
You're getting emotional.
Nobody died.
We'll try
Nobody
not to.
Died.
We'll try not to.
Please leave a message after the tone.
Hey, so I have an old ass iPhone and this thing is still kicking somehow. It's like an old car at this point. It shouldn't be on the road, but it's somehow still flying. I get made fun of for it, but like the joke's on all of them because I'm not paying thousands of dollars for a new one. Yep.
Message deleted.
My husband's got a 5.
I have a friend of mine, and she's got an iPhone 3. And
wow.
3? That thing's heavy.
That's like the second one that came out, though, right?
And she works for
I know it's called the 3.
She works for this super, high-tech company out of New York City and everything. And every time I see her, it's for a work event. And I'm like, you still have an iPhone 3. Like, every time it's got a cracked screen. Every time it gets a text message, it shakes, but not in the way that it's supposed to. Just... I don't know, man.
Put it down.
Doesn't seem healthy.
I feel like, is she the type of person who doesn't use her phone constantly?
No, I mean, she's like super busy with work and everything else. And I'm like,
so maybe she's just so busy that she can't be bothered to go get a new phone.
No, she has this weird attachment to it. It's like a family member.
Oh.
Same thing. Like, she's like worried that her iPhone 3 isn't going to. It's never going to turn into an iPhone 5 on its own.
Catch the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show, weekdays 6 to 10 a.m. on X107.5.
Let's get to the news. It's top stories.
So, obviously, this week we, commemorated what happened on October 1st. Pretty emotional day. And some big news that's coming out about the MGM and the plaintiff's settlement that was reached. So, this came out yesterday. Victims of the what happened here in Las Vegas have agreed to settle the lawsuits for between $735 million to $800 million against MGM Resorts International. So,
good.
$750 million is what the payout's going to be. And obviously, MGM Resorts International and the attorneys for about 4,400 plaintiffs said the final amount of the money will depend on the number of claimants who choose to take part in the lawsuit. But basically, this... Well, we'll put it to rest, which is a good thing. And the CEO of MGM Resorts, Jim Murren, came out and said the last thing we want is extended litigation. Yep. And you feel bad for a lot of the employees of MGM that had obviously nothing to do with this, that also suffered through a lot of this. And chiefly, though, of course, the people that were at the festival, it's awful what happened to them. And I like the fact that MGM is stepping up with a huge amount of money
Absolutely.
To try to make it right.
And not keeping it in courts for years and years and years and years.
Which
and,
is what
no
we're
amount
kind of
money
scared of.
Is going to help the victims or the families of the victims. But this is a good step. And,
this is the maximum all of the, if you think about the insurance policies that MGM has, this is the maximum that all of the insurance policies
will cover.
Could cover. Yeah. So they have about $751 million in insurance coverage that could be used to help cover such costs. And then obviously they'll have to deal with everything that comes along with anything beyond that, and then what this is going to do to their insurance premiums and all that stuff. But
I mean,
a huge amount of money, and obviously it doesn't solve anything.
Doesn't bring anybody back. But
it is a huge step in the right direction.
But it can help. It can help moving forward.
Gaming regulators worried about the marijuana show at a strip casino. What? Former Governor Brian Sandoval said that they have a gaming policy in place, and legal marijuana is a thing here in Las Vegas now, but it shouldn't be allowed on the resort corridor. A 12-member committee determined that marijuana is a line that shouldn't be crossed by people who have gaming licenses, because the federal government still considers marijuana an illegal controlled substance. So next week, the marijuana and casino industries will see their biggest test to date with the Bud Tender Awards, which is a 2-day trade and award show scheduled at Mandalay Bay October 11th and 12th. It's expected to draw about 2,000 people and billed by the organizers as the first ever cannabis event on an MGM property, as well as the first ever CBD sales, distribution, and sampling event. So some people are saying that
sampling.
This is CBD, though, doesn't have any THC in it. Yep. CBD is legal.
Which is just an interesting thing, though, because CBD isn't necessarily like an instant effect type of thing, right? So, like, how does one sample it for, like, what are you sampling?
I don't know. Have you tried CBD?
Yeah. No, I use it actually, like the drops for like anxiety and things like that, right?
So,
like,
does it work?
I think so. Yeah. But it's not like necessarily like an instant thing. Maybe it's like more for like flavors, because they have it like for peppermint, and that's specifically the one I use, or like lavender. But still, that's just an interesting
thing. Ian, you use it too, right?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I love CBD. But just like what Audrey's saying, really, there's not much to it in terms of just fast acting. So this is going to be mostly just sampling of lotions and different topical creams and shampoos.
Because
they put CBD in everything now. That is a huge business.
Yeah.
So the Bellagio is opening up a new supper club. It's going to open on New Year's Eve. And you know where Hyde nightclub used to be? It's basically, there's that little patio that directly overlooks the fountains. That's going to turn into a supper club.
Which,
if you think about like a cool place to go eat dinner, it's going to be, you know, super high end, I'm sure. But it's a 13,050 square foot space, and it's all already hiring. And there's a big budget that they put into renovating the place, like $6.8 million.
Wow.
And they're saying that the potential occupancy, 537 people. It's called the Mayfair, and it plans to open on New Year's Eve with the view of the fountains of of Bellagio. So pretty cool stuff.
Nice.
Not going to be a nightclub. There's going to be, as you'd expect, opening night a big to-do. But MGM Resorts is saying that it's going to be pretty impressive, and it's going to be somewhere that they think is going to turn into arguably the hottest supper club in the city.
I mean, a supper club, define, like, is that like... Is it they serve dinner and they have a DJ? Is that, you know?
So, yeah, I mean,
or is it like where they've got the white jackets and the red leather?
I don't really know. I mean, it's not going to be, they specifically said it will not be a nightclub with the velvet ropes and all that stuff. But then they said that, yeah, there's like Primrose and Bavette's at MGM, at Park MGM that have helped with the decor of the place. There's going to be a patio. There's going to be a lounge. And there's going to be a bar that's going to have, like, specialty cocktails and all of that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But when you say supper club, you'd think that it there's something
like an
else to it, right?
Entertainment of some sort?
Yeah.
I would love to see a big band.
Like a big band would be so cool. Or, like, a Rose Rabbit Lie type of thing with the Bellagio fountain somehow tied into it. Like, that would be really, really cool. But, I mean...
Sounds interesting.
That's definitely more my speed than a club these days.
A thousand times more, yeah.
Sweet. And finally,
please tell me they open at 4.
Yeah,
do you guys have a 3:30 p.m. dinner? Thank you.
Can I get on that?
A convicted felon was arrested Tuesday in an armed robbery of an adult shop in North Las Vegas. His name is Comet Trey, with an E on the end, Russell, 42, indicted by a federal grand jury in August on one count of interference with commerce by robbery, brandishing a firearm in furtherance of a crime of violence, and a felon in possession of a firearm. Showed up with a 9. Allegedly robbed the Love Store on East Cheyenne and is accused of threatening at least one employee. In October of 2015, he was convicted on 2 counts of burglary in which he used a gun during an incident. I mean, if you're going to rob anywhere, a sex shop seems like a pretty bad place.
Yeah.
Like, how much cash do you suppose they really have on hand?
Well, but do you think that more people might be using cash because they don't want it to pop up on their debit card?
I mean... Why wouldn't you want it to pop up in your debit card? What does it matter if it's the Love Store?
I don't know, man.
Well, sometimes maybe you're buying it for
It's a birthday
your
present.
Mistress.
Oh, the mistress.
Or, I don't know. That's just what happens on TV.
Also, don't name your kid Comet. That's a dog's name.
This is the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show on X107.5.
Now I've got the Full House theme song stuck in my head. Everywhere you look.
Keep going.
That's all I know.
The Dave and Mahoney Morning Show presents The Internet is Awesome.
What did we used to do before the Internet would bring us all of these wonderful joys? We just had to hope to encounter something like this ourselves in real life, and that never happens, right? Like, every day the Internet gives us the gift of people being stupid beyond belief.
Maybe we could get a glimpse of it in America's Funniest Home Videos with Bob Saget.
No, it's Alfonso now.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it's not the same.
I know. Even with my boy Tom Bergeron.
Tom Bergeron was not a good host for that compared to Bob. Not compared to Bob Saget.
No, the only two that were worthwhile were Bob Saget and Dave Coulier.
Dave
for
Coulier
America's was, funniest home videos.
Dave Coulier was America's funniest people, right?
Is that what it was?
Yeah.
Because he was trying to steal Saget's.
He for sure was.
Thunder.
He was creeping all up in Saget's business there.
Uh-huh.
But he had the jackalope, so you know. But today's Internet is Awesome is actually kind of animal-themed, speaking of the jackalope.
Okay.
This first one is a guy who went out to the state park on this island, and he got gored by a bison. And so you'd think that would be enough of a reason to go, I'm kind of done with this park.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I don't need to hang out here anymore. Not this fella. No. This sheer genius decided to bring a date there. And then she promptly also got gored. Mm-hmm. And she was like, I can't believe that this happened.
All of a sudden, I see the bison charging me. So I start running towards the lake away from it, and it flips me up. He was digging at the dirt like he was going to charge after me again. I've heard from his story, just stay still so it doesn't come charging at you again. To me, it seems like, I don't know, one in a million chance.
Ian had the best ghost. You had the best ghost, Ian.
Best ghost, thank
best
you.
Best story or the joke. Afterwards.
No, please. Yeah, no, don't. Oh, my gourd.
Oh, my gourd.
Oh, my gourd.
Oh, my gourd. I got
she, she seemed like she enjoyed that, though. I think her and the bison may have a thing now.
Well, this is a second story not to mess with animals, and this one takes us, where was this? The lion exhibit?
Now, this is actually at a zoo in Brooklyn.
Brooklyn, that's what it was. Yeah.
So dumb.
So this girl decides that she is going to climb into the lion exhibit because she's high. And she wants to get a cool video for the gram.
Yeah.
And it's her birthday.
And this lion almost eats her. I mean, you can see the lion looking at her like.
I felt so bad for the lion because the lion's like, if I eat this a-hole, I'm going to get shot.
And maybe you're thinking, hey, it's a little bit too much to call this girl an a-hole. Have a listen.
No.
You can decide for yourself. She actually says she's going to go mess with Mother Nature.
Yep.
We in the building. All the levers is lit. We in the building. Shout out to the Bronx. We in the building. Shout out to Big Pond. We in the building. It's lit. Gang, gang, Bronx,
we're in the building. What?
Happy birthday to me. Now I'm about to go around with
Mother
Nature and all the good part of our life. Welcome to heaven.
Are they
in an ice cream truck?
Yeah. Right. I don't know why the
ice cream truck. It sounded like she gave a shout out to Big Perm, which would make sense if you watched the movie Friday. Big Perm drove an ice cream truck.
I thought it was Big Pun. I heard Big Pun.
Oh, maybe she was.
No, I think Big Pun. Big Pun's been dead for 20 plus years, man. All
Big
right,
Perm's still around.
Rest
in Pun.
Also, don't mess with Jimmy Butler. Jimmy Butler, the basketball player, he showed up to a basketball press conference, and I guess he's a bit late for it, and he had a perfect excuse as to why he was late. His excuse for the reason he was late is because he was taking a shower, and then he said, I can't wash my ass.
I like how they said no.
No, you can't, man. You got to be here. You got to be on time. We did Cover Your Ears on Tuesday, and somebody decided to do a rendition of the Foo Fighters in times like these, and it's worth playing these 30 seconds back because they are magic.
Stars burn tonight. I'm a little divider. Do I stay or run away? Leave it all behind. Oh, it's time like this to learn to live again.
Again, animal related here. Hell so, yeah. Towards the end, his cat got on the keyboard there, and it kind of. I mean, it sounds terrible.
Kind of works.
But it kind of works.
Yeah.
It's time like this to learn to
in what way do you guys think that works?
Oh, I mean, that's just that's really good for
it's
a cat,
cat,
is what I'm saying. It's really.
I mean, it's no. Do you remember Keyboard Cat? Do you guys remember Keyboard Cat?
It sounds like Jeff Goldblum when he was playing keyboard, if you remember that.
It's time like this to learn to live.
It kind of works. I love it.
I mean,
love
that cat is a prodigy, I will say.
That's one cool cat.
You know, Keyboard Cat is dead, by the way.
Yeah.
He passed. He passed a couple years ago.
They all die.
And Grumpy Cat, too.
Mm-hmm.
Grumpy Cat is no longer with us. It's just so sad, all the cat memes.
And finally, speaking of cool cats, this guy got pulled over after having a little bit too much to drink, like three times the legal limit, and the cop pulled him out of the car, and you could tell the cop wasn't trying to figure out if he was drunk. Mm-hmm. He knew the guy was drunk, but he's like, let's go ahead and do some field sobriety tests. And that's when the guy's like, you know what? I'm going to impress this police officer. I'm going to show him I can do the splits, which is what he does, and it was all captured on camera, so here's the audio.
You think you're in any condition to do some field sobriety tests for me real quick?
If you want me to, I will.
Mean, are you going to be able to walk a straight line?
Yeah, I think I could, sir.
You think you could?
I mean, if you want me to, I will.
Okay, now, either foot, doesn't matter which one. Do you have any issues with your legs, any injuries, anything like that?
I don't think so. I can go like this.
Okay, that's very impressive. Stand up for me, okay?
Yeah.
Glitz. Glamour. Fame, scandal, weight loss, teeth, it's Pop Trash!
Who else here is a big fan of Jersey Shore? Audrey, you in?
I'm like a huge fan, but like I dabble.
All right.
Nah, man. That show's garbage. It's trash.
Well, speaking of getting a little trashy, you guys know who Ronnie is, right?
Uh-huh.
From the show. Him and his girlfriend, Jen, were actually in L.A., and they were talking recently about how things are going great. They're getting along wonderfully.
Because they had some issues.
Last week.
Yeah.
Yep.
Glad to know that things are good again, though.
They got into an argument, what amounted to basically very late Thursday night, very early Friday morning, 2:30 a.m., specifically at an Airbnb that they're renting in L.A., and allegedly it's because he got so coked up that he got completely out of hand, and he started trying to slap and punch Jen, went running out of the house. People got multiple 911 calls flooding into the cops because Jen was in distress. He was also chasing her around with a knife. He eventually dropped the knife and locked himself in their daughter's room in their house. That's when the police arrived on the scene, and he did not respond to commands to come outside. Police decided to break down the door because they were worried that the daughter could be in danger. According to law enforcement, Ronnie would still not go peacefully, so they decided to tase him.
Stop. There's no need for that, Ronnie. Stop.
And, yeah, so he gets hauled off, and they're saying it's because he was doing a whole bunch of cocaine, which is a pretty cool thing to do when your kid's at home.
Oh, my God. Their kid was there?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I'll get you, bitch.
Yeah, it might be a time to intervention, CPS. I mean, if you're attacking your baby mama.
Well, but she's also been, like, in the news for attacking him as well. They're just toxic.
They need to get away from each other.
You got to get away from each other.
There's a kid involved. Like, you have to put the child's best interest first. Like, stop.
And they're not because they're just fame whores. Ugh, it's gross.
Speaking of being belligerent, that is the exact word that was used to describe Antonio Brown. Belligerent lunatic, specifically during a deposition. Brown appeared at a Miami office building on September 24th to be questioned as part of a lawsuit in which he's accused of going berserk in the luxury condo that he was renting, causing thousands of dollars in damage, but never paying the bill. And we actually had some audio of this a couple of weeks ago when we first started talking about it. Him, like, throwing furniture off of the balcony, and there's video of it, and he's laughing the whole time, thinking it's hilarious.
Well, there was a woman who was, like, out there just lounging by the pool and almost got hit by any of that stuff. Like, if you get hit by any piece of furniture thrown from a high-rise building, that could really do some damage. The guy's a maniac.
Yeah, Antonio Brown says that the owners of the condo failed to provide adequate security, which resulted in somebody robbing Antonio Brown's unit, in which he claims $80,000 in cash and a gun were stolen. The deposition ended when Brown started a five-minute countdown and then walked out of the office at noon, long before it was scheduled to end. And again, the lawyer, in a deposition, which is going to be used in court, and
it's
videotaped,
document.
He was acting like a belligerent lunatic where he was just going off on all these rants and everything else. Like, Antonio Brown has lost it, man.
Yeah, he has.
Yeah, he needs to seek help, like, because he's got a lot of stuff swirling around, and it could, you know,
blow up in his face if it's not already.
I mean, it already has. It's already cost him probably ever playing in the NFL again, right? I mean, I don't know.
If all of these allegations are true, or any of these allegations are true, the more serious stuff, I don't really care about the condo thing, but the stuff where, you know, he's assaulting women and everything else, like, I can't imagine that any team is going to want to take another chance on him, considering that it's not like he's a great player who gets along well with the team. Like, he has gone so far off the rails that he thinks he's impervious to all of the rules. Like, nothing applies to him.
Yeah, he hasn't redeemed himself. I mean, you look at somebody like Randy Moss, who was notoriously hard to get along with, who turned it around. It became, you know, the second part of his career was amazing.
Even Josh Gordon. I mean, who's on the Patriots right now. Like, he's had all sorts of off-the-field troubles.
Well, look at Richie Incognito, who was, you know, you know, could have never played in the NFL again, but it seems like he's turned his stuff around too. And
people are willing to give people a second chance, but not if you're just a roaring a-hole. It doesn't matter how good you are. So Kiss, we talked about this earlier, that, you know, them as a band, they jumped the shark a long time ago, right?
Were they
ever even on the right side of the shark? Could they even, I mean, their whole gimmick to begin with is so corny, but now they're taking things to the next level because Kiss kicks ass.
What's Kiss doing now?
They're going to pull a marketing stunt where they're going to play a show in shark-infested waters for an underwater audience.
Okay. Why?
On November 18th, they're going to do a concert for 8 lucky fans and a few great white sharks. God, how awesome would it be if this is how Gene Simmons...
Yes!
Like, if he gets eaten by a shark...
Ace Frehley's trying to save him, but then another shark comes in and just completely eats
and
him.
And Ace just totally abandons him. He's like, good luck, Gene. I'll see you later.
Detroit Rock Center.
I'm the star now. Finally.
I admire Kiss because they are a mediocre band that has made a boatload of money.
Yeah.
Like, you have found a way to take a stupid gimmick, ride it out for 45 years.
Yeah.
Gene Simmons is 70 years old now. This is why I'm like, why? Why? You don't have anything else to prove at this point.
Because their show tanked. He has his show tanked.
Yeah, but...
What I'm saying, he was trying other avenues,
but no,
and it
but
didn't
Gene Simmons
work.
Is still, like... got plenty of money.
But he's a fame whore. Like, he loves attention more than anything else. He's got plenty of money. They've merchandised very well.
Everything.
Made a lot of good business decisions over the years. But as far as things that Gene Simmons loves, like a camera in his face, has got to be towards the top of the list, right?
Probably.
So anything that they keep doing, and again, if this all ends with him getting eaten by a shark live on TV.
Is this going to be on Shark Week?
Mwah. What a way to go.
Does this coincide with Shark Week in any way, shape, or form?
I don't think
it's going to be on the
Discovery
Channel.
I think it just happened.
I don't think the Discovery would even consider this.
I don't know, man. Shark Week's getting pretty out of control with some of the stupid programming that they have during that.
Yeah, wait, is this going to be just like a live stream?
It's like a random, it's on YouTube, like nobody's even watching when he gets eaten.
Super grainy.
Like an Instagram live, terrible audio.
What's great about this is that tickets go on sale October 14th. And it's first come, first serve, and there's only 8 available, but they're they're $52.
That's it?
Yes.
Yeah. 8 tickets available.
And for $52 a piece, you're like, all right, guys, how can we make $200 this weekend?
I'm buying all of them. No, seriously, I want to buy all of them. Then just try to resell them.
And finally, Robert De Niro has been going back and forth with this former assistant of his. He's suing her for $6 million, and now she's countersuing him for $12 million. Mm-hmm. He was saying that she was impossible to work with. And if you remember, she's the one that Robert De Niro claimed watched 55 episodes of Friends during a 4-day period and used the company credit card for all these like super high end lunches.
Like tens of thousands of dollars in takeout and super high end like lunches. Yeah, he didn't have nice things to say about her, but she's firing back now?
Well, she's firing back with a lawsuit for double what he is suing for and also releasing some audio of a voicemail that he left her. Would you like to hear it?
Sure.
This. How dare you disrespect me how much you did? You want another position. You want another position. Then say you want another position. Go off somewhere. But don't get angry with me because I'm pissed off because I didn't get a simple thing that I need for right now here out in California when I'm here for less than 24 hours. You gotta be kidding me, you spoiled brat. You! So quit whatever you want. Damn it, how could you say you don't answer? You're upset because you're living in Spain, you spoiled brat.
That sounds like not him.
Sounds like a bad Robert De Niro
impersonator. His voice is like 4 octaves higher.
Also, like, was he on an actual phone? Because I think I heard him hang up there at the end.
You spoiled brat.
Rotary phone?
Like a rotary phone? You hear the clink?
Operator.
I don't know, man. Like, it's getting dirty. You know, obviously she's not happy with being painted as somebody who watched 55 episodes of Friends in a 4-day period. So firing back, releasing this. Do you think?
I mean, they're 23-minute episodes, you know?
Is there something terribly wrong with that?
Yeah, it's like, I've done that.
On the clock?
No.
I got a good order.
Yo!
Fast food freakouts.
If I wasn't in this car, man, I'd come in there and kick your ass.
Ma'am, we're going to have to ask you to leave.
Taylor is joining us this morning here on the Dave Mahoney Morning Show. What is your favorite fast food restaurant, Taylor?
It has to be Taco Bell.
Nice. Do love me some Taco Bell.
Have you tried the toasted cheddar chalupa yet?
No. I need to get in there and get that for sure.
It is
so good.
It is a game changer, my friend. Get nacho cheese on it to really.
Mwah. Mwah. All right, Taylor. So here's how this works. We've got 3 different clips for you, and all of them are fast food freakouts from different restaurants. You're trying to figure out which fast food restaurant each one of these freakouts took place in. And there are some hints in the audio, so listen closely. If you get 2 out of these 3 correct, we're going to set you up today, okay?
Nice.
All right, so let me just give you the premise of each of these as we go through them. Clip number 1 here is A man that is upset about having to wait for his cheeseburger. Okay, this is a guy that's upset about having to wait for a cheeseburger. Happens to the best of us. Here is clip number one in Fast Food Freakouts.
I asked you for a cheeseburger.
I'm sorry, what do you think?
I asked you for a don't scream at me. Hey, don't knuckle on me, mother you and you and burger, mother beat you all over those French fries, boy. I swear to God, I'll whoop you in this restaurant.
Oh, boy.
Man.
Wow.
Some clues there.
Yeah.
Some clues there.
Yeah. So was that, in your opinion, at A, Jack in the Box, B, Whataburger, or C, McDonald's?
Let's say Jack in the Box.
Not a bad guess. Incorrect. Incorrect.
It's okay.
What do you think, Mahoney?
If it's not Jack in the Box would have been my guess is the second one. I'm going to go McDonald's.
Yeah, no, you're all wrong.
Whataburger.
Really?
Yes.
Wow. Spicy ketchup gets people going.
Jack in the Box is the most ghetto. It's one.
Here we go on to number two. This woman is upset that the ingredients are not available a half hour before they close. So if you guys have ever been to a fast food restaurant and you order something and they're like, we're out of it, it makes you furious, but they always try to balance it so they have just the right amount. This lady very upset that the ingredients not available a half hour before they close.
Well, if you do not have the ingredients, then why would you not tell me your name so I can tell corporate who I talk to?
They're going to tell you the same thing.
No, ma'am.
Stop serving the
they will tell me is they're going to talk to and investigate the store. You cannot tell a customer you do not have the ingredients and then not tell me a name as to why you will not get make the and you close in 30 minutes. You're not closed. I hope you enjoy being what little manager that you are at your little minimum wage job.
Wow.
Karen.
Wow.
Why was she filming
ruthless.
That?
Yeah.
Like, that was her filming.
Yes.
Like,
she was filming, and then she posted it as if she got her. One more time here at the end.
And you close in 30 minutes. You're not closed. I hope you enjoy being what little manager that you are at your little minimum wage job.
You could hear her so angry. Her voice is shaking.
God, she sucks so
bad. Was that A, Taco Bell, B, Del Taco, or C, McDonald's?
Let's go with Taco Bell.
Yes, Terry.
Very nice.
Very good.
He knows his Taco Bell.
He understands the rage that he would feel if he went to his favorite restaurant and they did not have the ingredients.
What were they out of?
And try to close 30 minutes before. Come on.
Come on, man. Come on.
I'm not Taco Bell never closed.
Yeah. Does Taco Bell?
It depends on the locations. Yeah. A lot of them have extended their hours so they're only closed for a few hours.
Yeah, I feel like it's a mistake for Taco Bell to close late at night because that's when, you know,
we want it.
I feel like the most
the drugs come out.
Yeah.
Like if I was a cop, I would just hang out at the ass end of the drive-through for a Taco Bell.
And
just,
totally. Yeah.
I have actually made my Ubers go through it.
At the end of the drive-through.
There you go. Yeah. All right, so here's the third and final one. If you get this right, you're going to be the winner today. If you get it wrong, you lose and get nothing. Okay.
All right.
This woman is upset that the machine is broken.
No, I want to chop the. You're not going to do that.
Escalated.
Whoa.
All right, so a machine is broken. Is that at A, a Burger King, B, a McDonald's, or C, a Dairy Queen?
I'm going to say McDonald's because it's only with machines.
And they're always broken.
Always.
Always. Her rage is justified.
Who gets that mad over a chocolate McFlurry, though?
Right? I do.
When you can't get one for the past 15 years.
Fix the damn machine, man.
You're listening to the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show on X107.5.
That is the dumbest game we play.
It is so stupid and so wonderful in so many ways.
Oh, man.
Taylor, congratulations to you, man. We're going to set you up here with a pair of tickets to go see The Neighborhood over at the Chelsea at the Cosmopolitan. 1 week from today, October the 11th, you're going for free. Thank you for listening today. And
thank you, Mahoney.
Yeah, man. Enjoy the show and enjoy some Taco Bell after all is said and done.
Toasted cheddar chalupa, my friend. Do it. Treat yourself.
Let's get to the news. It's top stories.
So, Mahoney, for many years, we've been cool with Canada. Uh-huh. Everything seemed like going great.
You're a great hat. You're a great hat.
Friendly neighbors. Yeah. Everyone gets along. We like traveling back and forth.
We like your Canadian whiskeys.
Yeah. And then they started sending the attack mice down.
Oh, no.
Now they've invaded as far as New Hampshire.
Have they crossed the border, Dave? They crossed the border into New Hampshire? New Hampshire has fallen to the mice.
Animal rescuers in New Hampshire were summoned to a home where there was a bull moose, and it found itself unable to climb out of a resident swimming pool after getting in for an afternoon dip.
Aww.
The New Hampshire Fish and Game Department posted a video on Facebook showing rescuers lowering a set of wooden stairs into the pool. The moose are going into breeding season right now, and because that's ramping up, the bulls are on the move looking for mates. In his travels, the young bull accidentally found his way into the swimming pool in Bedford, according to the department.
Yeah, he was trying to get pretty.
So they put a ladder in there to for him to walk
some
himself
little stairs.
Out?
Yeah, exactly.
That moose was trying to get fresh and clean, man.
Yeah, no, he's over there on his phone. He's on Tinder. He's like, girl, I'm in the pool. Why don't you come over? Come on, man. Let's
come
hang
on
out.
Over. We can't get out.
Well, I mean, while we're here.
Could you imagine finding a moose in a pool?
You're like, oh, God.
How
again?
Did he get out? Or, like, how did he get in if he couldn't get out?
Just
cannonball.
Yeah. Cannonball. Speaking of a big ball of meat, a 1,600-pound breeding bull has escaped. Yeah, a 1,600-pound bull escaped from a truck on the streets of Baltimore for several hours.
What?
The Baltimore Sun reported that it took three tranquilizer shots and a crew of zoo officials to recapture the animal on Wednesday. The purebred Angus breeding bull broke out of the truck while it was stopped at a red light, just kicked the door open.
Yep.
A crowd gathered and watched as the animal was eventually corralled. The cops said the owner of the bull said he doesn't have the best disposition when it comes to talking about this right now, so doesn't want to go on camera. The bull was from a hedge apple farm in Buckeystown, according to the executive director. The animal, very expensive, and thanked police for not shooting it. He said the bull is extremely valuable to us, and we're glad to see that he is still alive.
Do you try to ride it?
8 seconds, man. We'll give you a big shiny belt buckle if you win. A woman attacked her husband with a Nerf gun, and now she faces abuse charges.
What?
A Nerf gun, right?
A Nerf gun. Like, did she beat him with the gun?
She did.
Oh, is that what it is?
Yes.
Oh, okay. I mean, if you, like, get shot with the little darts, that's ridiculous. But if you beat, I mean, you whoop that ass with the actual gun.
And not just
Plastic
a gun.
Hurts.
Guns. The victim said that his wife started an argument with him over his suspected infidelity, and that's when I can just imagine, like, the OK Corral, like, pulls them both out, you know, has one in each hand. Yeah, per the report, the victim said that he ran out of the house to try to get away from her, but she chased him down the road. According to the affidavit, four children, including three minors, were in the home when the fight occurred. The deputy reportedly made contact at the home and noticed that she was holding two plastic Nerf guns at the time. So, like, at no point did she think, I should put down these guns that I just whooped my husband's ass with, even as the cops showed up to her house.
You got to get, she should have sprung for the holster.
She said that she was hitting her husband in retaliation for his infidelity. She was booked into the jail on one count of domestic abuse and child endangerment.
I mean, I will say the new Nerf guns have gotten pretty awesome. The fact that they got ones that, like, shoot, like...
The Gatling guns?
Yeah, well, they have ones that shoot, like, 200 feet per second now.
I'm so excited. It's on my Christmas list. I'm so excited. Tell my girlfriend. That's all I want.
That's all you want?
You want a Nerf arsenal?
How much are those
things? They're, like, $50.
They're not cheap.
That's not too bad. I mean, for something that shoots that far, I mean, that's a good investment.
They do some damage.
Yeah. So a Russian man is seeking $15,000 in damages from Apple after he claims that his iPhone turned him gay.
Oh, is there an app for that?
Yes, it's called Grindr. He became mired in same-sex relationships this summer after he received 69 gay coins on a cryptocurrency payment app that he downloaded onto his iPhone. They have gay coins?
Sure, why not?
Yeah, they got coins for everything now.
They got dodged coins.
Did he get caught by somebody? Is this why he's coming out about it?
He said, quote, I have a steady boyfriend and I don't know how to explain it to my parents. After receiving the aforementioned message, my life had changed for the worse and will never be normal again.
It sounds like he found love. He's got a boyfriend. Like, should be thanking Apple for...
No, he's saying that they manipulatively pushed him into being a homosexual.
Oh.
And moral suffering and harm to mental health.
I bet your boyfriend feels really great.
Right?
This is the worst thing ever.
Guess who's not getting laid tonight, buddy?
K-92. Catch the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show weekdays 6 to 10 a.m. on X 107.5.
Got a comment, complaint, or opinion for the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show? Leave the good stuff on our voicemail at 702-889-7352. Again, 702-889-7352.
Please leave a message after the tone.
So one of my favorite things to do is read my voicemail transcripts out loud, like, because they're never right. I got a robocall the other day, and I swear the transcript made it read like they were looking for toads.
Message deleted.
And that's when you realized, I got to call them back. Mm-hmm. What if they lost their toads? Toads are really quite adorable creatures.
That's my nickname. That's what my grandpa calls me.
Toad?
Mm-hmm.
That's really a horrible nickname. Yeah.
No, it's not. It's endearing. Thank you. We were searching for roly-polies when I was like two.
Oh,
I lifted up a rock and a toad jumped out and I screamed and he was like, oh, it's a toad. And then it just stuck. I don't know. But yeah.
That's kind of cute. That's a cute story.
Cutie patootie.
Do you still believe that toads give you warts?
What's crazy is that there actually are poisonous frogs.
Yeah.
Like if you touch them, like their venom is on their skin.
Yeah. If you, there's certain ones if you lick, you'll trip.
They're the smallest ones.
Yeah. Like you'll hallucinate too.
I mean.
Trying to lick some. Like some frogs?
Me? No, personally.
Oh, okay. Personally.
Ribbit.
Me or DJ Khaled.
Please leave a message after the tone.
Hey, for the tipsy or Taleb, that's really illegal. You can't do that. You know, that's the future of our countries.
Message deleted.
What?
First off, we have multiple countries. Secondly, okay, so tipsy or toddler is a game that we play here on the show, but they're not drunk kids. There's drunk people or kids.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's tipsy or toddler, not tipsy and toddler.
Or tipsy toddler.
Tipsy toddler. I mean, you've given me an idea.
Please leave a message after the tone.
Hey, everybody. I was wondering if you like your mom or your dad. Maybe your dad's dashing good looks, or either way, which one are you more like?
Message deleted.
Which one are we alike?
More alike, or which one do we like more?
I think he has two different questions.
I think he did, yeah.
I think I'm more like my mom, probably.
I'm more like my dad. I mean, like as far as looks, like we like.
I look way more like my mom.
Almost identical.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm 50-50. I look like both of them whenever I'm standing by one or the other.
Yeah.
But I think I'm more like my dad.
Ian, who do you like more, your mom or your dad?
Oh, dude, they both listen to the show. Don't do that to me. I don't like either of them because they got divorced.
Oh, wow.
Not happy.
Wow.
Not happy.
Long time ago.
Morning show on X107.5.
Long time ago.
Oh, still haven't gotten over it.
How long ago was that?
I think I was like four.
But you got two Christmases then, right?
Don't bring up Christmas either, dude. Come on.
You got no Christmases?
Bad. No, Dad, you're my favorite. Dad, I love you.
That's why he wants a Nerf gun.
Dad.
So this is going to be a really good time. Not this Saturday, but next Saturday, October the 12th, Terrible Herbst Hotel and Casino in Jean, Nevada. Going to have the Terrible Herbst Beer and Wine Fest. 70 different types of craft ales, lager, stouts, IPAs, and wines. Portion of the proceeds benefit Help of Southern Nevada. Live music and a DJ. $20 for all that you would like to sample.
You can't go wrong with that. Terrible's always puts on a good beer fest down there.
And everyone that goes in gets a raffle ticket, your chance to win free beer for a year, free car washes for a year, or free Red Bull for a year.
Bossy Rossi is going to lose his mind.
It's coming up another Saturday.
I think he may bankrupt Terribles if they give him free,
Red Bull for a year. I'm sure there's limits. Right? There's got to be. But Saturday, October the 12th, Terrible Herbst Hotel and Casino in Jean, Nevada. Put that in the calendar for next weekend. Going to be a whole lot of fun.
All right. All I want to do is drink beer for breakfast. We have made it through another week.
Have we?
Almost. I haven't been fired yet.
Day is young, my friend.
And it is a Friday.
Uh-huh.
And we've got 30 minutes left on the show.
Oh, boy.
So, in the meantime, we've got a beer that Audrey has been waiting many, many weeks for. I sent her this a couple weeks ago, and she lost her mind. And we are finally drinking the Peanut Butter Chocolate Milk Stout from the Lost Coast Brewery. This could be our... this could be my last drink with you guys.
Oh, yeah. Mahoney went on one yesterday. Yeah. He was full-on Mahanimal.
Mahanimal, has Frank the Tank ain't got nothing on the Mahanimal.
Oh, no.
I'll tell you that much. But cheers, my friends.
Cheers.
Wow, I'm so excited. I'm, like, drooling. I want to watch your reactions first.
This smells like a Reese's peanut butter cup.
Oh, yeah. Those.
I'm, like, going to melt.
Like, it's hard to like, slurp. Because it's very...
Oh, my God, it tastes like one, too. It tastes like the milk. If you ever drank the milk at the end of a Reese's Puffs bowl, that's what it tastes like.
We haven't even got to the taste yet.
Wow.
Dave, you're
jumping in. I can't stop.
You're ruining
protocol. Gotta hurry. I can't stop. It's so good.
It's so good. I'm gonna stop either.
Well, the five categories in which we rate every single beer for breakfast: look, smell, taste, feel, and drinkability. Ooh. The Lost Coast Peanut Butter Chocolate Milk Stout has 5.6% alcohol by volume, 64 IBUs. It's being served today from a 12-ounce brown bottle that was brewed about 3 months ago. It comes in a six-pack that costs right around like $10, $10.50, right in that range.
It chems?
Chems.
Chems.
Chems. Like I said, some of the beer is still stuck back there. Yeah. Proper glassware, serve it out of a pint glass, a mug, or a snifter. I like serving this a little bit warmer. So I would say around 50 degrees. You know, a lot of stuff I recommend 45. But this, stouts, especially ones that are this rich, I would say definitely go for 50, around 50 degrees. So leave it out for like 10 minutes or so.
Yeah, makes sense.
Let it warm up. Yeah. Let's get to the very first category and a beer for breakfast, which is... We don't need a drum roll yet.
Sorry about that.
Only at the end. Let's start with the look. We'll start with you, Audrey.
She looked sexy. Mm-hmm. She looked fine. She looked dark and luxurious.
Mm-hmm.
She kind of looks like Coke.
I
does look like Coke.
I said, don't describe me. Describe the beer.
I'm sorry. She seriously looks like a Coke.
When we poured it out, like when we poured the when we poured these drinks. It was like this really fizzy, dark brown head, and it looked just like it came out of like a soda machine.
Yeah.
But it receded really, really, really quickly back down into the body. But it is dark as the night is long. So there is like zero.
You can't see through it at all.
If you hold it to a direct light, you can get a little bit of light brown in there. But this is a dark, dark beer. The next category is the smell. Let's all take a big whiff of the Lost Coast Brewery Peanut Butter Chocolate Milk Stout.
Stick with what I said earlier. Smells like a Reese's peanut butter cup.
Yep.
And your thoughts on this?
Like, it's hyperventilated.
Very, very sweet. Now, mm-hmm. I haven't tasted this. I had one little sip, but I can already tell just from that smell that this is going to be extremely sweet. Otherwise, it's going to let me down.
Well, there's some of them out there. You know, we've done a couple peanut butter stouts in the past, and this one I think is a little bit different. For the nose, like Dave said, big wafts of peanut butter. It smells like a freshly opened jar of like Peter Pan. Some light notes of chocolate and bitter coffee. Zero alcohol. I mean, this just smells delicious. But Ian's right, very, very sweet as well. Let's all take a big drink of the Lost Coast Brewery peanut butter chocolate, or the peanut butter chocolate milk stout.
Audrey has pretty much already drank all of hers. Respect.
It's so good. I couldn't stop. I'm just chugging it.
Audrey is traditionally more of a stout drinker. Mm-hmm. Not huge into a lot of the IPAs that are out there.
No,
what
sir.
Are your thoughts on the Lost Coast Brewery's peanut butter chocolate milk stout?
I am really impressed by this. It is easy to drink. It is sweet.
Mm-hmm.
But I personally really like that.
Yep.
And I've said this before. But with some of the bourbon barrels, because those do have that sweetness to it, this would be so good as like an adult
milkshake
or a float.
It would be so good
as that.
They have that alcoholic ice cream too.
Yeah.
You ever seen that?
Yeah, mm-hmm. Just put a scoop of it on there and just kind of have
every
like,
time I eat
especially
ice cream,
going into fall. Just some like bourbon syrup on it. Yeah, no, but it would be so good, especially as we're going into fall. If you're having any type of party, this would be a really good like adult fun thing
as
to
the
do.
Weather cools down.
You were spot on, I think. Like if you went out, imagine like let's say that you had to go out on like you went to the fall festival and you were on like a hayride or something.
Uh-huh.
Like, this is the perfect beer for that because it just tastes like that time of year where you get like a little bit of coffee in there too and. Maybe even a little toffee, but I mean, like the peanut. You guys are getting peanuts as well?
Oh yeah, those are big peanut butter.
So I mean,
the
peanut butter presence along with the chocolate, but it's not overly sweet.
It's not overwhelming, in my opinion. Is this something that you like drinking? Though?
I do.
You do like?
I do.
This.
And I'm not a big fan of sweet drinks at all, and I really like this.
I think the difference too is that a lot of times the alcohol can overpower it and make it almost, especially whenever you're getting those bourbon barrel finishes on them, that if it's too much alcohol at the nose, and whenever you're like, if it's an 8% ABV, it's too sweet and it's going to do you way too much damage. It's going to put you under. You can't handle it. This is easy.
It's nicely balanced, I would say, even though there are some big flavors. 5.56.
5.6?
5.6. So just over, like, it's like a Bud Heavy.
Yeah.
Right around there. I think unlike some of the other peanut butter milk stouts out there, this one actually has big flavors of peanut butter. Some of the other ones, you are kind of disappointed because you're like, there's really not a whole lot of peanut butter in here. It's very rich. It blends nicely with the chocolate, like you pointed out, a little bit of hints of toffee and coffee in there as well. And the you get a somewhat sweet finish that lingers along with the peanut butter in there. So it's like as you take a drink, you can really feel the peanut butter like on the tip of your tongue and taste it there.
It's
as
saying
well.
Raisins on the bottle. I'm not getting any raisins. No.
I've seen somebody just say dates as well. I'm not picking any of that up, Ian.
Maybe dates. Maybe.
Maybe.
No.
Peanut butter and coffee and chocolate are the three big flavors. A little bit of toffee in there as well.
Like, I'm like searching for it.
A like, little I, bit I of toffee. Like toffee on the end.
Yeah.
What even is toffee?
It's like caramel. Ah. So like think of a Rolo, the stuff that's inside of a Rolo.
Mm. Okay. The old person's caramel.
What do you hate? Yeah. Why do you hate Rolos, man? Yeah. Rolos are legit.
No, I I've never had one outside of like church.
Get woke, girl. Come on.
And your thoughts on these?
Why do they have so many of those at church? You're right. It's always have Rolos at church.
Mahoney, I'm actually going to disagree with you guys. I think this is a little too sweet. I wish the alcohol presence was there a little bit more. Again, the sweetness is very overwhelming. I take two sips of this and I feel like I'm done.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You contrarian son of a bitch.
Well, I'm
too sweet. Just too sweet.
It's the mouthfeel. It's medium body.
Too sweet already.
Oh, I would say this is very velvety. It's smooth. But for the drinkability, I'm going to agree with Ian. I think this is one of the better peanut butter milk stouts out there. It's very, very rich. I think I can only have maybe one, two at the absolute most of
these.
Great.
You going to drink the rest of them?
You can have as many as you would like. But for me, I think this is a good beer to finish on. I think this is a good dessert beer. And I think this is a good winter beer. But it is, like Ian said, very, very rich. And there is a good amount of sweetness to it as well.
If you want to be the hero, as everyone's like sitting around a campfire, like if you have like one of those type of trips planned.
It's kind of like a s'more.
S'more.
Oh, bring a six pack of this. This is liquid s'mores.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Can I get a drum roll, please, Dave?
Yeah, man.
Oh! Mahoney's Beer Scale Supremacy, I give the Lost Coast Brewery Peanut Butter Chocolate Milk Stout a 3.8 out of 5.
Listen for reviews of your new favorite brews.
Cheers!
Beer for breakfast every Friday morning at 9:30 with Dave and Mahoney on X107.5.
Here's today's question for Know the Show.
It's Know the Show with Dave and Mahoney.
Pete Wentz did me off yesterday.
Pete Wentz you off?
Yeah.
Why?
Because I think he went to go in for a handshake, and I was like, you know, I was distracted. I left Pete Wentz hanging.
Pete Wentz did something to Mahoney yesterday. He blanked him off. So what exactly is that blank? 702-791-1075 is the phone number. First person with the correct answer gets set up with a pair of tickets to go see The Cult. They are doing their show this Sunday over at the Chelsea at the Cosmopolitan. Tickets are on sale net right now at CosmopolitanLasVegas.com. And speaking of tickets being on sale, we are just a couple of minutes away from no longer pre-sale, but the tickets just being readily available for Holiday Havoc. Going to be an incredible show on December 3rd. Also at the Chelsea at the Cosmopolitan, but that's coming up at 10 a.m. today.
Yeah, like 4 minutes.
Yeah,
I'm so excited. The set list, thank you, Bossy Rossi. He did such an amazing job. Like, the lineup is incredible. The 1975 White Reaper, Judah and the Lion.
Joywave. I don't know how, but they found me.
Joywave, I'm telling you, get there early to see Joywave. I promise you, they kill it. They played a couple shows for us over the years, and every single time, just blown away by how good that band is.
And a lot of people don't know this, but Bossy Rossi had very little to do with this. This is actually our very own Mahoney that was directly responsible.
Okay. That's right. Yep. Yeah, I've got a lot of industry connects.
Mm-hmm. I must have gotten the email chain mixed up. Yeah. I just saw Mahoney and the tagline. So,
did you or did you not get hammered drunk with the manager for Fall Out Boy, Weezer, Green Day, and Panic at the Disco yesterday?
That is true.
Yesterday.
Yeah, that is true, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Cheers.
So industry connects galore.
That's right. Making moves happen.
And that's after hooking up with a sister.
You got to bring up old stuff, man.
I didn't bring it up.
I didn't bring it up.
Hit that I had sex with the sister.
Oh, Jesus. That's a drop now?
That's going to haunt you.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Oh, boy.
X1075, good morning. Hello.
Oh, God.
What is your name? What's your name, man?
This is Darren.
Darren, what's the correct answer?
Flipped off.
Flipped off, yes. I mean, had another off been offered, you probably would have gone for that at the state that you were in, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Had some drinks, nice and loosey-goosey.
His hair has gotten long. Please.
Yeah.
We'll get the full interview with him and Bossy Rossi up on online here, hopefully, soon before I...
before you take your hangover nap.
Yeah. Got a hangover nap coming.
It'll be up on X1075LasVegas.com, and that's going to do it for us.
Yeah.
Hopefully just until Monday.
Yeah.
Setting sun, where the wind blows wild and free. There's a lovely spot, just the only one that means home, sweet home to me. If you follow the old Kit Carson trail till the desert meets the hills, oh, you certainly will agree with me. It's the place of a thousand thrills. Nevada, home means the hills, home means a sage in the pine. Out by the Truckee silvery rills, out where the sun always shines. Here is the land that I love the best, fairer than all I can see. She's deep in the heart of the Golden West. Home means Nevada to me. One more time now. Home means Nevada to me.